Turn your Bibles to the book of Job. The very familiar book of Job, talking about suffering and God's sovereignty and all of that. We're going to look there and also in Isaiah chapter 50. But we're going to read Job chapter 23. I'll read verses 1 through 9. If you would stand for the reading of the Word of God, Job chapter 23, and we'll call today's message A Voice in the Darkness. A Voice in the Darkness. Hear God speak. Then Job answered and said, "Today also my complaint is bitter. My hand is heavy on account of my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him," that means God, "that I might come even to his feet. I would lay my case before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know what he would answer me and understand what he would say to me. Would he contend with me with his greatness of his power? No, he'd pay attention to me. There are upright men there, an upright man could argue with him, and I would be acquitted forever by my judge. Behold, I go forward, but he's not there, and backward, but I do not perceive him. On the left hand, when he is working, I do not behold him. He turns to the right, but I do not see him. Speak, Lord, through your holy word. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated." Now, I think they still do this game, but I'm sure many of you remember the game around the pool called Marco Polo. Remember Marco Polo? So if I said Marco, you'd say Polo. Or maybe you'd say Marco Polo, and I'd say fish out of water, right? Marco Polo. They still play that. But the thing about Marco Polo is this. You have to have your eyes closed if you're the Marco, right? And the people that are saying Polo have got to speak loudly, say Polo. And you have to rely on what you hear because you cannot see. Got that? You cannot see, but to have victory, you have to be able to hear. Amen? Is God ever like that with us? Very, very much. Again, we are calling today's message A Voice in the Darkness. Sometimes the darkness is because of your own fault. We're going to look at that. But we're also going to look at the instances where God has put you there. Where it's not your fault, it's kind of His fault. But it's not the fault of trying to punish you or He doesn't know what He's doing. It's so that He can train you to hear Him even when you can't see Him. Like Marco Polo, right? What if you had the radar, right? You'd win every time. Well, not even that, because you can swim faster than me, but you get the point. There are times when you can't see what God is doing. This is what Job was saying. He goes, "I'm looking around. I can't find what He's doing. I don't know." Has anybody ever felt like that? How about right now? Amen? Yeah, we know that. Now, before we get to that, I want to talk about this idea of God's discipline. And to do that, we want to head to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Some famous verses here, but I don't know if you've ever considered the actual context of this big bad verse. Hebrews chapter 12, and let me read verse 14. I'm sure you've heard of it. "Strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord." Interesting there. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. But the context there is the discipline of God. Let's read verses 10 and 11. "For," it means the fathers, "have disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them. But God disciplines us for our good, that we may share His holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. But later, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." Now, what I mean to say is this. If you're to pursue holiness, you got to submit to the Lord's discipline. But discipline isn't just always a spanking. Discipline isn't just corrective measure because you messed up once again. I know that discipline. You don't have to teach me about that discipline. But what I want to talk to you about is discipline that's training so that you're going to know and trust God when you understand Him the least. That's the hard part. When you're in a situation you haven't been before, and there doesn't seem to be any way out, and you have a choice to go the wrong way or the right way, and you don't even really know what it is sometimes. Again, sometimes discipline is God's doing, not because of you needed to be corrected, but you needed to be protected and you need to be prepared. It's not punishment, it's preparation. Do we have an understanding of that? Okay? Let me describe that further. Let's go back now to our text in the book of Job. Anybody with me? The book of Job in chapter 23. Now, we've already read verses 1 through 9, and it's pretty bleak. And if you know the story of Job, you know that he lost all his family, all his farm, all his finances, all in one swoop in a day. It was all gone. And then his friends come and say, "You must have done something wrong, buddy. If you would have done good, God would have done good by you." And this book stands in stark contrast to that, because sometimes God allows certain things, your dream to die, someone not to come to the Lord. You can't afford certain things you had obligations to. Sometimes these things happen, and we think, why? Oh, I was doing right, as if we're on a performance rider with God. If we perform this way, then He'll do that way. And so many churches sell that Jesus. But that's not the real Jesus, folks. So in verse 1 through 9, we saw the rough road of life, right? He's not understanding what's going on. He's looking around, doesn't see him. And it always leads to two questions, and I'm sure you have asked those two questions, and you might be asking them in your life right now. Where is God? And what is God doing? Anybody asked those questions? Anybody today asked those questions? I'm sure you did. Let me ask a question. Why are you lying? You know you've asked those questions. Where is God? What is He doing? That's what He's doing in chapter 23. Job struggles with these two questions. He wishes he could go right in front of God, face to face, and make his case. But he realizes he can't perceive God. He doesn't know what God is doing. He's in the dark. And yet he feels like he's burning on fire. A lot of us might, he's not saying God isn't real. He's going, God, what is the deal? But he comes to the right conclusions here. What is that conclusion? Let's look at verse 10. Amen. Are you with me? He said, "But He knows the way that I take. When He has tried me, I shall come out as gold." So where is God in all this? That's not the question to ask. The question is that God knows where I am. That's what, where is God in all this? Well, God knows where I am. He knows better than you what you're going through. Now, when you were a child traveling on a long trip, again, you didn't have the map. You didn't know the exact way. When you got a little older as a teenager, you had some markers in your mind and all that. Still, you didn't have to know exactly how to get to where you're going. You knew where you were going. Your mom or your dad or your guardian, whoever, they're the ones that took you. When you first went up into the mountains, down here in Florida, we don't have them. But you go up north and your ears will pop. And you think, what is that? But your mom and your dad and whoever drove you, they weren't all panicky, even though you might have been, because they were able to stay the course. They knew what was going on, even if you didn't. Can you hear me? They didn't change the course. They stayed the course. You don't have to know every bump in the road, every obstacle, every curve in the road when you're following Jesus, because He does. You can keep following Him even when it leads through trouble. Stay the course. Jesus knows the way. Make sure that you are following Him. But then the second part of the verse, he says, "When He has tried me, I shall come out as gold. I'm so good, God knows that I'm right." That's not what he's saying. That's not what he's saying. What is God doing in all this? God knows what he's doing. He says, "I can't see God. I have all this stuff happen. I got my friends that are blaming me. Everybody's saying he must have done something wrong. I've lost everything. I'm no longer this pillar of the community." But God was going to make him a pillar of faith. He says, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. But I will defend my ways before him." That's in Job 13:15. Now he's in Job 23 and he's going, I'm trying to find you, God. I wish I could see you face to face, but I don't know what's going on. But I know you know where I am, and I know you know what you're doing. He's not just proving you, he's improving you. God's going to allow you to be tested so you learn he can be trusted. God is going to allow you to be tested so you can learn he is to be trusted. David Murray said it this way about this verse. "His hand is on the thermostat and his eye is on the timer. He knows how hot the furnace needs to be and how long to leave you in it." That's a good word, amen? He says, I shall come out as gold. The end result of that testing, of that trying, of that proving, of that improving, is the gold of a closer relationship with God, who's working not only in and on you for your good, but for the good of others through you. As you go through the dark and remain faithful, that faithful witness strengthens others' faith. As you go through those trials and you don't buckle under that pressure, you let God handle that and you keep you praise His name, you don't grumble, you say, God is good. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's what Job said. Doesn't mean you don't go, God, I don't understand. God, I don't feel good. God, I don't want this physical pain. I don't want this financial pain. I don't want this relationship pain. But I'm going to trust you because you know where I am. You know what I'm going through and you know what to do about it. And you're there with me. We're going to turn that back on in a few minutes. But for right now, I'd like you to get to Isaiah chapter 50. Because there's that instance where it wasn't, that's the whole book, it's not Job's fault. God was doing something, and you know what He was doing? He was showing us for all time. The first book that was written in the Bible, not chronologically, but in the sense of it was written first, I believe it was written by Moses coming back from the wilderness, coming to rescue the children in Egypt. He said, look, sometimes God has got this bigger picture that you may not see, but He does. What side are you going to be on? Now, are you with me? Isaiah 50. Isaiah 50. Somebody, because now we're really just going to get right down into this text. Isaiah chapter 50. And look at verse 11, the last verse. Behold, all you who kindle a fire, who equip yourselves with burning torches, walk by the light of your fire, and by your torches that you've kindled. This you have from my hand. In other words, this is what I'm telling you. You shall lie down in torment. There can be seasons of your life when it seems like a dark cloud is always above you. When it seems like you're in a dark fog, it's all around you. You're walking right in the middle of it. Or maybe you even feel sometimes like you're wearing a blindfold. Like you're just trying to say Marco Polo and God's not answering. And you don't know what to do. Anyone? Maybe it's your finances. Maybe it's your marriage. Maybe it's losing loved ones or lost loved ones. Maybe unbelieving loved ones. Sickness, work, ministry, or trouble in the world. They tell you, stop looking at social media, stop paying attention to the news, but you can't do it. Or you do it and you think, I just need this one little thing, and then something terrible comes on, and you feel the weight of it, you think these people are going to hell, or, you know, I can't believe what's going on in society, I can't take it, and you just crush. But in any event, in any of that, you feel disoriented. You feel like you're flying blind. Anyone. You can't really tell where you are, where you're going, what's going on, or what God's doing. Instead of traveling through the darkness by listening to God's voice, you look to light your own way. That's what he's saying here. That's what he's warning them. Isaiah was saying they were in trouble. He could see it, and they were going to do their own thing. Israel was discouraged and drifting and walking by their own lights. God was saying they're going to get burned by them. Because you can do that all you want to. But know this. This you have from my hand. I can see the future. I know your future. If you walk by your own light, you try to get your own light, your own heat, your own fire, you will get burned by it. And you think, well, preacher, let me tell you, don't worry about the preacher. It's God telling you that. Now let's take this verse by verse. Are you with me? Look at verse 1. Thus says the Lord. This is Isaiah writing this. Where is your mother's certificate of divorce with which I sent her away? Oh, which of my creditors is it to whom I've sold you? Behold, for your iniquities you were sold, and for your transgressions your mother was sent away. The people feel like God has given up on them. God has turned His back on them. But God said, I didn't divorce you. You can't present any divorce papers. I didn't divorce you. I didn't have to sell you to someone else. There's no lien on your life. I own you. I haven't given up you. Your mess is your own fault. Now look at verse 2. He says, why, when I came, was there no man? Why, when I called, was there no one to answer? Is my hand shortened that it can't redeem? Or have I no power to deliver? Behold, by my rebuke I dry up the sea. I make the rivers a desert. The fish sting for the lack of water and die of thirst. I clothe the heavens with blackness and make sackcloth their covering. You see, sometimes you begin to resent what God is doing. Oh, no, that's never us. You see, how come He's doing it this way? We may not say in our hearts, if I was God, but you might begin to grumble, complain, grieve God's Spirit, withdrawing from God's Word, withdrawing from God's people, and disobeying God's will. And by the way, withdrawing from God's Word and God's people is disobeying God's will. They feel and see only dark. And the further you draw away, no wonder it's getting worse. Stop being an idiot. Turn, and an idolater is an idiot. You're expecting this thing to deliver you. Whether it be a little bit of pleasure, a little pet in the corner, whatever. Don't get on me on that. You know what I'm saying. You look to other things, little things to deliver you, and they will not. You can enjoy God's good graces. Pleasure is not the problem. What you expect of it is. I'll repeat that in a little while. But I've seen the pattern so many times. You stop doing ministry, then you stop coming, then you pull away, then all of a sudden, you used to call me angel, now you call me devil, and now I'm not worthy, or this, or these people, or whatever, and church hurt me, and all that. Boom. Israel was doing that. In some ways, they were still going through the motions, but their heart wasn't in it, because they were blaming God. Why has He put us in? Why are we going into captivity? Why am I going through this? Well, that brings up the question, why do people turn away from God in the darkness? You would think, He's the one with the light, I need to listen to Him. I need to find Him. He's the only way out. Because they make their own torches. But why do they do that? Because when your life goes the way you want it to, it's easy to run into God's arms. It's also easy to forget God. But when your life doesn't go the way you planned or the way you want, you're tempted to become sour and suspicious towards God. And let me tell you something. The way you think God is treating you is the way you're going to treat others. Hurt people, hurt people. Now, when life takes a turn for the worse, trusting God may seem dangerous. God may seem distant. God may seem disinterested. But then you start doing your own math. You start thinking, well, you know, I know God is sovereign. God is all-powerful. So you know what? Really, He's the problem. He's really the one to blame. And so you start looking for another way, another source to light your way. But when life gets hard, God doesn't want you to resent His ways. He says, is my hand shortened that it can't redeem? Have I no power to deliver? His ear's not closed to you. His heart is not dark towards you. But you can refuse to have Him. Because the darkness in you and around you seems to hide Him from you. Right? You're searching around in the dark, and you're thinking, what am I going to do? And God, I'm just going to have to do it my own way. When His Word says something else, and you go, there's your test. So God says, why, when I came, was there no man? Why, when I called, was there no one to answer? God says, I was waiting patiently for you, but where were you? Their situation, Israel's and ours, many times is not because of, it's never because of God's neglect. In verse 1, God told them it was their own fault they were in darkness. But He says, my hand can still save. You may have turned away all these times, but all you need to do is turn back around. It's not how far, how fast, and where you are on that road. It's, are you on the road? You can't walk backwards all day. You've got to turn around. The way to hell does not lead to heaven. Repentance means turn around. It's a change of mind that leads to a change of heart, which leads to a change of life. You may have been unfaithful, God says, but I will still be faithful. I didn't divorce you. I didn't sell you away. You took yourself out of the ball game. Come back. I can still save. Now, that rest of that stuff in verse 2 and 3 reminds you of the Exodus. Right? The big wall. And then all the fish must have been there. Right? And He saved them. How God rescued the people from bondage of Egypt. But here in Isaiah, a physical rescue wasn't what the people needed most. They needed something far more than that. They needed a spiritual rescue from their disobedience against God and from their doubts about God. Does anybody need to be rescued from their doubts about God? Yes. So often, so do we, just like Israel. Now, sometimes it's your own fault that you're walking in darkness. But sometimes it's not your fault. Yet in either case, if it's your fault, don't think you're so much worse off. No, in either case, listen to me, it's God's design. He wants to use this season of darkness to advance you in your knowledge and trust of Him. There are some lessons you can only learn in the dark. Don't tell me that God never allows people to get in the dark of His own accord. He most certainly does. Of course, when the days are dark, you have a hard time looking at God, let alone anybody else. You're tempted to despair. What if I never get through this? What if my body or my relationships never heal? You got to know, you're fighting the battle right this very second. You think, I just can't take this anymore. You lose. This is where the battle is most hot. If you don't think this is spiritual warfare, you ignorant. This is spiritual warfare on the highest level. Right here, right now. And so, of course, you're going to hear those negative things. We're going to talk about that in a moment. What if I never get through this? What if my body never heals? What if that relationship never gets better? What if I lose everything I love? What if I fail again? Because it's in moments like these that Satan comes and tries to drown out God's voice with fears and doubts. Whether the darkness is your own fault, or even if you know it's not your fault. A season of despair can leave you desperate for God, yet deaf to God. So instead of relying on God, you just light your own torch. Or you know you're not supposed to do that, but you don't know what to do, and so you crawl on the ground licking the bitter dust. Most people medicate themselves with distraction, using simple and superficial pleasure to keep them from having to deal with the darkness. I'm not mad at hospice. I'm not mad at hospitals. I'm not mad when you're getting old and you've got to do things. But you know what they do? They just put a TV on. You're supposed to watch TV all the time to keep you from the mind, or you're about to die. Right? When I was in critical care, when I was in intensive care, you know, when I stroke, the heart attack and all that, it's like, you know, just here's the morphine and here's the TV. We don't know if you're going to make it or not. Now, am I mad? I'm not mad at them at all. I'm not worried about that. That's okay. But I'm saying you can't just go through life like that. That is death. But people do anything. They'll reach out for anything just to keep them from having to deal with reality. See, Jesus is trying to teach you something about the darkness and finding Him in the midst of it. And if you can do that, if you can hear His voice in the middle of the dark, that's the comfort you need. But we give up on it. We'd rather just crawl on our face. Again, some people just want to wallow in self-pity. Falling in love with their sadness, what did Billy Corgan say it? Intoxicated with the madness, I'm in love with my sadness. They take comfort in obsessing over their situation. Don't you know this? Yeah, I know it. Believe me, I know it. Because you won't let me not know it. And God knows it too. Some people, and I've been guilty, they turn it outward and take the pain they feel and use it as a weapon to hurt others. Hurt people. Someone I just want to see other people suffering so they don't feel alone. I'm not saying that's not helpful, but it's not a deliverer. Many people simply get used to the dark. Old Vance Havner had a sermon like that. You ought to look it up sometime. Getting used to the dark. Not listening to the voice of God, but learning to live a dark life. Oh, I'm saved. Remember we talked about it last week, but they're living as enemies of the cross. Whose God is their own desire, their own appetites. Whose glory and their shame and minds are set on earthly things. You know, the lights you create expose your weaknesses. Whatever your go-to default sin, it shows what's going on with you. God says it's going to burn you if you depend on it. You might be ashamed of it, but you trust it when you feel desperate. That's what happens. What you go to when you feel desperate, that's what you're trusting. Right? You got me? Who's that friend you turn to when it's all down deep and it's worse? That's who you're trusting. I don't mean not God, but you get my point. That's who your real friend is. Who can you really tell? Look, I fell down again. I don't want anybody else to know. I'm trying to get through this thing. I'm sick of this thing. And you're desperate. And you know you got to talk to somebody, whoever you're talking to then. That's who you're trusting. I'm not saying that's bad. I'm just trying to show you. Whatever torch you're working on right there, that's what you're trusting. But let me tell you something. If you look outside the Savior for something to be your Savior, that thing will wind up being your master, not your Savior. That little pleasure you hope would serve you will make you serve it. You might feel free, but you end up a slave. Pleasure isn't always a bad thing. It's good to enjoy God's good graces. Pleasure's not the problem. What you ask of it is the problem. They were looking for those torches not just to see around them. They wanted to be guided by them. They wanted to be warmed by them. They wanted to do something that God told them not to do. They were using strange fire. Anybody with me still? Amen. Well, here's the deal. What are you supposed to do then? We see what you're not supposed to do. Light your own torch, do it your own way, just crawl around in the dark. What are you supposed to do in the dark? Listen for the one that has the true light. Amen? So now let's look at verses 4 to 9. Let's see if you recognize any of these verses. I bet you do. You might think you don't, but you might know your New Testament and you'll hear some of this. It'll remind you. Anybody with me? Look at verse 4. The Lord, He's out in the middle of the darkness. Someone rises up. Someone rises up and says, "The Lord God has given me the tongue of those who are taught, that I may know how to sustain with a word him who is weary. Morning by morning He awakens. He awakens my ear to hear as those who are taught. The Lord God opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I turned not backward. I gave my back to those who strike, and my cheek to those who pull out the beard. I hid not my face from disgrace and spitting. But the Lord God helps me. Therefore I have not been disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God helps me. Who will declare me guilty? Behold, all of them will wear out like a garment. The moth will eat them up." So many have closed their ears to God, and they're lighting their own torches. But Isaiah says someone has arisen. A servant who will suffer injustice and still be strong enough to sustain the weak. While the others are being led by their own light, he walks by faith and not by sight. You know that verse, 2 Corinthians 5:7. He listened for the light when he could not see it. There's the key. He listened for the light when he could not see it. He saw God with his ears. Can you see me now? Here's a person who's heard the voice of God in the darkness. Everybody else is down in the dark, and he goes, "I have the right tongue. I've been taught. God is helping me all the time. Who's going to rise up against me? Let him stand with me in court and let God judge. He's the one that's helping me. They're going to be put to shame, but I will not be put to shame because of His vindication." You know, this isn't the first time we see this person. There's a whole theme here from Isaiah 42 to Isaiah 53. You see him first in Isaiah 42, this person whom is rising up. Then in Isaiah 49, he appears once again. And here he is in Isaiah 50. And finally, you see him in Isaiah 52 and 53. All the passages that we're talking about are a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, who will be with His people, lead His people, and deliver His people. Walk by faith, not by sight. Now, let me put this, you know that. Let's put this with this verse. Walk by faith, not by sight. And faith comes by hearing the word of Christ. Romans 10:17. You see, you can hear Jesus speak to you right in this exact text. People say, you know, you hear God's voice in Scripture. You need to pray right now that you'll hear Him. When you heard it say spitting and pulling, and all this, did you think of Jesus? I hope you did. If you didn't, start thinking about Him. Jesus can speak to you right out of the Bible. That's what you need to do, is be able to hear His voice when you cannot see His face. That's what Jesus was saying. Here I am on earth. Here I am going to do this duty. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. hear His voice in this text and follow Him. Look at verse 10 and 11. Are you with me? Who among you fears the Lord and obeys the voice of His servant? Let him who walks in darkness and has no light. They're not a Christian. That's not what it says. It can be people that are not a Christian, but it says what? Let him who walks in darkness and has no light trust in the name of the Lord and rely on His God. And then he says the warning again. Behold, all you who kindle fire will equip yourselves with your own burning torches. If you walk by the light of your fire and the torch you've kindled, you're going to lie down in torment. The lesson is to trust God and rely on Him when it's dark. If you walk by the light of your own torch, you will be burned. Anybody know that for a truth? Turn away from those old lights you're tempted to trust. Don't try to light some new fire to guide and warm you. You don't need alcohol in the middle of Sunday afternoon after you leave church. And put it up on Facebook. I'll never come back here. Well, you know what? God's going to hound you with this for the rest of your life. When are you going to break free from possession? I just said that for somebody. Don't worry about it. I ain't saying you can't drink alcohol ever, but you shouldn't be getting drunk. You shouldn't be glorying in your shame. I was an alcoholic, right? I was a drug abuser. I've been clean for 20 years, and I can tell you this, it ain't because I thought, this is fun. Did I like it when I was doing it? Of course I did. I didn't do it if I didn't like it. Well, sometimes I did, because it was the only thing I thought could help me. But when I was in New Orleans, and I was face down, and I was getting hit by a stick, and I was on 3 hits of acid, about 4 rolls, ecstasy, lines of cocaine like you wouldn't believe, drinking like, I don't know how many red stripes I had, Mike, I don't know, a lot, a case. And then we were doing the whippets, and I passed out and got all my money stolen, was getting the crap beat out of me by a cop, and I'm not mad at him. And I heard a voice say, "Is this all you want?" And that's when I came out. I heard His voice in the darkness. I didn't see it as the darkness. See, I thought it was fun because I had all this money and I was getting away with it and my friends got arrested and lost all their money and I hadn't yet. I did. After I came to Jesus, that's when I lost it all. See what I'm saying? Now he's going to say, what is really the light? You see, if I have a rat in one hand and $1 billion in the other hand, the only reason you choose the rat is because you think it's $1 billion. People don't realize they're walking around in the dark. But Christians ought to. They ought to. He says, stop lighting your own torches. Stop doing it your own way. Stop doing thinking you can do it, you know, with a little bit of leaven. Not you. No, not you. Do you hear His voice? He suffered spitting and pulling and all these things and all this sin that wasn't even His fault to help take care of you even when it is your fault or when it's not. Don't try to light some new fire. Don't think you can do it some other way. I just don't want to be like those Christians. Sure you do. Then be the right kind and be an example for us. Walk by the light of His voice. The voice you hear in His Word. That's what I call, that's the name of our ministry, the voice of vision. That's why I call it that, this text. Turn, trust, and take the next step. Look to the cross and realize that He's got it handled. And even if He were to tell you exactly what He's doing and how He's doing it, you don't have the vocabulary to understand it. The truth is you just don't know all the stuff He's doing. Amen? I don't. But it's not your job to know everything. It's your job to trust Him in everything. Even when you put yourself in that darkness, God wants to use that to train you to hear His voice in Scripture rather than trying to light the way on your own. That's what He's trying to do with you in the darkness. Because when you can hear Him, when all else it looks like it's disoriented, you have what you need to glorify Him. Let me explain this to you about a man and his wife and see if this will make sense to you more. You with me? Lady's going to say, amen. So, your wife comes home, she's had a real hard time with something. She's really in the dark about it, and she wants to talk to you about it. And you listen, but only so as to find a way to fix it. But she just wants you to be there with her. Not fixing the dark, but loving her in the dark. Yes, honey, I know that I've failed you. She wants you to enter into her world, not just stand aloof and show her the way out. She wants you to be right there with her. And that's what God wants. To be right there in the darkness with you, to show His love for you, to be a light for you, to teach you to be able to hear Him. He wants to show you that He can be trusted to lead you even in the darkest places. And to hear Him in the dark is the most comforting thing that you can imagine. You say, I didn't want to come to church, or I didn't feel like being at church, or I'm just not going to church for a month. Because I just can't handle. And if you heard God's voice, and you're more likely to hear it here than anywhere else. Because God's people are gathered together. God's Spirit is here to minister. He invented this thing called church. And it isn't me you're listening to. Some of it might have been me. And I praise God that He can take that and just push it away and let you hear what you need to hear. And what you need to hear is that He is speaking to you and telling you that if you can hear Him in the dark, He can lead you no matter what you go through. It's the most comforting thing that you can imagine. I can imagine my wife going through the surgery on Tuesday. And then the doctor, very famous, very good doctor, comes out and says, she made it through and all that. But until I have her and my arms are around her and I kiss her, that's the comfort I need. I need that intimacy. That's what your wife needs, dudes. Can you learn just that from this sermon? You know, don't try to fix her. Just listen. I don't want the grief. I've got enough on my own. And I've actually said that. It's not good. Don't do it. It'll ruin things. Just let her go. Just let her go. God wants that for you. He wants to show you that He's going to be in there. If He can show you that in the worst case scenario, He's right there with you. Exactly. Then you know. Then you know He's with you. That's going to be the most comforting thing you can imagine. Let me tell you, there's a lot of scriptures that talk about this. Psalm 119, 105. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's His word that you need. Not your own fire. Not your own way. His word. God's word shows you what you're walking on and where you're going to. Psalm 18:28. For it is you who light my lamp. The Lord God lightens my darkness. Proverbs 6:23, for the commandment is a lamp, and the teaching a light, and the reproofs of discipline are the way of life. Reproof means convict. God's discipline is training. And God means to use your time in the darkness to show you what you've been depending on instead of Him, and to guide you to, and to lead you with His light. That's the life of a maturing disciple. To be continually exposed to God's light, so depend more on that light than on yourself. Can I say that again? That's what it's like to be a maturing disciple. To be so continually exposed to God's light, you don't like it because the more light you have, the more dust you see. But the truth is, it helps you depend on that light more than on yourself. I get myself ready. I think I'm looking good. I know I have to lose weight. But, you know, I'm wearing this. It's looking good. Everything's good. And then my wife comes and goes, okay, this and this and this. And I have to depend that until she brushes me off, I'm not presentable yet. See, it goes both ways. She said it to me. You just don't look presentable yet. I'm like, okay. Or I'm walking around last week all thinking, yeah, what a great sermon, this, that, and the thing. And she hands me a mint. Because she knows I need it. It's one of the reasons why God made me small, so I can breathe down, you know, because some of you breathe down. Oh, anyway. And then the text that we read this morning before we came on air, Micah 7:8. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light to me. I'm not saying that once you learn that, then He'll take you out of the darkness. I'm saying that even if you leave in the darkness, you have what you need right there with you. Yeah. See, that's better. That's better. That's something money can't buy, poverty can't lose, no one can steal, death can't stop, and the devil can't touch. Say, Lord, I need Your word. Psalm 119, I think it's 130, says, the entrance of His word brings light. So sometimes it is your own fault that you're in the darkness. But sometimes it's God. Don't let people tell you He doesn't do that. Depends on what you mean by darkness. But sometimes it's God who's put you in the darkness, not to punish you, but to train you to be able to hear His voice when you can't see. There's the whole lesson. You got it? Let me say it again. Sometimes it is your fault that you're in the darkness. Sometimes it's not your fault in the darkness. But either way, God's issue, He's trying to train you to be able to hear His voice when you can't see. Again, His design is to lead you in the darkness, to learn to hear Him and follow Him and trust Him in the darkness. Even in the darkness, you can live in the light. If everything is dark, who do they look to? The one that has the light. So you can live as a light and show others how to live in the light, to follow the light of God's voice. You can help others. See, because the devil's going to say, look, God's left you alone and in the dark. That's the worst thing you can think of, right? Because that's what hell is, by the way. I'm not worried about flames. Being left alone by yourself in solitary forever. Think about that. With just Jesus' face looking at you, but not with love. Yikes. The devil tries to say, you're in hell now, and God puts you there. God doesn't care for you. You're all alone in this, and you're in the dark. But faith says, no, God is with me in the dark. And I don't need my own light to see where I am and what I need to do. I can follow God's voice. Now, what a victory that is over the devil, and what a glory to God that is. You see, right when you're in the worst, and you've done the worst, and you're down there in the darkness, Jesus can rise up and show you what to do. And you say, I look on His vindication. And if God can rescue you from the deepest darkness, what else can He do? What can He not do? No matter how far you've fallen down. Charles Spurgeon said it this way, that God has gone further up, and as you see Him rise up, He can pull you with Him. So let me ask you, what torches have you been lighting? What false fires have you been depending on? What has been your go-to response? I've had one. It's called anger. Right? And sometimes I misplace that. Sometimes I even think I'm doing God's work by doing that. But the anger of man does not work the righteousness of God. So there, I told on myself. Will you tell God today?